Today is United States against Lua Guiar. Ms. Kim.
May it please the court, my name is Helen Kim and I represent the appellant in this case, Juan Lua Guiar. Your Honors, we made two arguments in our opening brief, and I will be addressing the first issue today, although I'm happy to answer any questions regarding the cultural assimilation argument at the end of my argument. Our first issue had to do with the fast-track disparities or unwarranted disparities, and we argued that the district court could have considered that argument. The district court erred when it rejected that argument, and it did not adequately consider our request on the merits, and any error in this case was not harmless.
What do you make, then, of this statement of the judge, who may have been prescient at the time, where he says, third, this court, while recognizing that the sentencing guidelines were advisory and that it would have discretion to reduce Mr. Lua Guiar's sentence on this basis, does not believe it should be reduced. He goes on, I won't read the whole thing, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, if he hadn't said that, if he had just said the first two things, I would have thought you might have a point, but he did say that.
The problem with that third comment, we believe, has to do with the fact that the district court was clearly operating under a wrong presumption when it made the first two statements. And to
but, you know, district courts sometimes, you know, the same with us. I mean, sometimes we don't know what direction the Supreme Court's going to go in, so we might entertain one theory that turns out not to be a good theory, and then we entertain another theory that turns out to be a sound theory. Why shouldn't we understand the district court as trying to engage in that kind of forward-looking thinking?
In this case, the district court didn't demonstrate any of that forward thinking, and it never showed that it actually anticipated what this court was going to do in Reyes-Hernandez. It didn't do an alternative sort of argument where it then went into 3553A factors. Instead, it started with a premise that was wrong, and then it threw in at the end that even if it had the discretion to do so, it wasn't going to do that. And the court never demonstrated that it even understood how to do the fast-track analysis. And this would be highlighted by the fact that the second comment it made was that it could only offer fast-track if there was a motion by the government. And as this court knows, and as other courts have shown, when this court has found it to be harmless error, it's not only when there's a 5K3.1 motion that a district court can think of fast-track departures. There's certainly other circumstances where that would be available. The court never went.
But there are also other requirements, even in a fast-track district. The defendant has to plead guilty, for example. Your client not only didn't plead guilty, but your client has raised other issues on appeal, right? So there was no plea plus a waiver of appeal. Your client has demonstrated a desire to raise on appeal the kind of issues that in a fast-track district could not be raised on appeal. So how do we have any kind of parallel to a fast-track district here?
Respectfully, Your Honor, Mr. Lua Guiar did plead guilty, and in fact he was charged.
I misspoke about the plea. I was interested in the waiver on appeal. You're raising two issues on appeal, one of which is clearly blocked by the appeal waiver that's part of a fast-track program in a fast-track district. And what that implies to me is that your client just didn't want to do those things that are necessary to a fast-track departure in a real fast-track district.
Judge, I would say that the fast-track eligibility in most fast-track jurisdictions is, of course, that a defendant has to waive their right to file pretrial motions. Mr. Lua Guiar did not file any of those. They have to plead guilty, which he did, in fact, within a two-month period of time. He was supposed to waive his right to appeal and the right to attack under 2255. And certainly, I can't argue that fact because we did not waive our right to appeal. But at the same time, fast track wasn't available to Mr. Louie-Gazar, and that was exactly the reason why we were arguing that there was a warranted disparity or that we wanted the judge to consider it under 3553. In order to show that a defendant would have pursued an option, I think it makes sense that they would be eligible to receive some of the benefits in making that sort of waiver. We could not anticipate that Reyes-Hernandez would have been issued either at the time that we had Mr. Louie-Gazar's sentencing. And so had we had the benefit of that, certainly we would have done some sort of statement or a waiver in the plea declaration that would have alerted.
That argument would come, I think, would be a stronger argument if after Reyes-Hernandez you had refrained from making the kind of argument that an appellate waiver would preclude. But you filed this appeal after Reyes-Hernandez and sought to present, actually presented, an appellate argument that would be forbidden in a real fast-track district. That's what got me thinking along these lines.
Respectfully, but then Mr. Louie-Gazar would never have any court to review the decision by the district court, which in this case happened to be wrong.
No, you could easily say we will waive appeal of everything other than whether, by analogy, a fast-track departure should be allowed. Your client ever make that offer?
No, Your Honor, and that, again, was because we didn't have the benefit of knowing that that's how we would need to proceed, as this court said in Reyes-Hernandez.
Well, the only thing you've added is cultural assimilation. Argument you're
in our brief, yes. At the time of sentencing, though, we actually made four arguments to the district court as to why Mr. Lewis should.
Sure, no, I mean, but post Reyes-Hernandez, the only thing you've added is cultural assimilation.
Right. So, in conclusion, I would emphasize the fact that the district court in this case did not start with the right understanding of the fast-track argument. And so because of that, the error was not harmless, and this court cannot have any guarantees that the district court would have proceeded in the same manner. If you have no further questions, I'll save my
time. Certainly, counsel. Ms. Greenwald.
Thank you, Your Honor. On behalf of the United States, Lynn Greenwald. The district court did have a complete understanding of the fast-track argument. It approached it in a thoughtful manner in which the court first determined that certainly under the precedent that was that was before it at the time, the pre-Reyes-Hernandez case law, fast-track was not an eligible consideration. However, the court did not just rely on that or even expressly say it couldn't consider it. In fact, it went on and said, even if this is something I can consider, this isn't a case where there would be a motion in the by the government, and to quote the court, even if departure, or the court didn't say even, but it did say if departure were available in this district, and that is because the defendant did not meet the qualifications. He did not offer to waive his appellate rights or make an offer of proof before the court that had it been available to him a fast-track motion by the government, it would have so he would have so behaved that way, nor did he make an offer of proof that he would raise his rights under 2255. The court went on, though, in addition to saying there would be no motion for the government here because, in essence, what follows from that is because he wasn't eligible, but the court went on and said, essentially, considering it on the merits, this isn't a case that on the merits I would deviate from this guideline range. And, in fact, he sentenced the defendant to the lowest level within that guideline range. It was the 46 to 57 guideline range. He sentenced him to 46. And at the time, not only was Reyes-Hernandez pending before this court, but the defendant had made the very argument to the court that was ultimately considered by this court in Reyes-Hernandez, and that is under Kimbrough and some other Supreme Court cases, a district court should be free to consider this argument. So the court, without doing analysis on the legalities of it, did get to the heart of it, considered it adequately, and found that this defendant was not one that qualified. So for all those reasons, it was thoroughly considered by the district court, and its decision, which was well within the guideline range, was a reasonable one that should be affirmed by this court, unless you have any questions.
I see none. Thank you, Ms. Greenwald. Anything further, Ms. Kim?
No.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.